grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ on this third week of Advent. Well, things have taken a turn for the worse for John the Baptist in Matthew's gospel reading this morning. Now, last week, he was baptizing everyone, the poor and the rich, or the powerful. He had a clear mission of what he was doing and his purpose. This week, he questions his work and his clarity he has held about Jesus. So he sends word via his disciples to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" What has shaken the resolve, the faith of John the Baptist? I mean, we know this about John. He lived his life preparing the way for the Son of God. John was a student of the prophets. He would have remembered the words that we heard from Isaiah very well. "Strengthen the weak of the hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you." And these words are reflected in what John said in last week's gospel, if you remember. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. I baptize with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. John lived his whole life to prepare the way of the Messiah. And when his idea of the Messiah arrives, he will baptize you with fire, purification. He will have his winnowing fork in his hand and clear his threshing floor. He will get rid of those who don't fit into John's idea of righteous. Well, John's idea of what Jesus will do and what Jesus is doing are in conflict. Prior to sending word, our scripture tells us John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing. So if we look back at chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel, we hear that Jesus is sending the apostles out into the towns to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Yet Jesus' instructions make the disciples vulnerable. They're told to take no gold or silver or copper in their belts, no bag for their journey, not even an extra set of clothes or sandals or a staff. Jesus then tells the disciples about the coming persecutions that they will face. In Matthew 10, 16 through 20, "I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them for they will hand you over to the councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before the governors and kings before me as a testimony to them and the Gentiles." It doesn't sound like vengeance and recompense to John. Jesus goes on to tell the disciples he does not bring peace, rather a sword. Now I bet John's intrigued. "Let him have it, Jesus." But Jesus is not referring to a metal sword scarred by burnishing blows against another sword. The sword that Jesus brings will pierce the idea of a vengeful God, as well as pierce the faith of family members, placing father against son and mother against daughter. As John hears this in prison, it confronts his knowledge and beliefs in Jesus as the Messiah. It does not match the image of Jesus. John is not understanding what's going on. He's experiencing a different view than what John has come to accept. John wanted the one who comes with vengeance, with terrible recompense to save us. John's expectation of Jesus, John's expectation of the way Jesus will reconcile the world, lies against what John is witnessing. And that is shaking his faith. Even after his life's work and devotion of living off the grid, even after seeing the Spirit of God descend like a dove and hearing the voice of God claim Jesus as the Son of the and the Beloved, the Son of God and the Beloved, John still has doubts. And we all know what that's like, right? I mean, we do the same thing. When life seems distant and dark, cold, and when God doesn't bring about our expectations of what should happen, it's understandable. John is in jail. His faith is drained by the walls that confine him. He is sheltered from the experience of nature and companionship. His captivity and solitude are ruling the day and allowing the darkness to suppress the light of hope. One of the pastors, Emily Truber Weller, says it this way: this week, John the Baptist is in a desert of his own, prison. It's a metaphorical desert, devoid of the confidence he once knew, separated from the companionship of friends and followers, and drained of freedom. It may also seem empty of the reassuring presence of God. John has been arrested and jailed for preaching truth to power, and he likely knows his death is imminent. He sends his disciples to Jesus for answers. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Behind this question, we hear the questions that might plague any of us at the end of our lives today. Did I do enough? Did my life matter? Was this all worth it? Are you the one I was working to prepare the way for all this time? Other times in our lives might also beg such questions. At the closing of a beloved family business, or the failure of a long-term project, at the end of a particular ministry, or the closing of a congregation, when it becomes clear that a dream will go unfulfilled, when death or distance separate us from the possibility of redemption or closure for a particular painful relationship. At these times, we might well feel like we can't see beyond the dry, dusty desert right in front of us. And we might wonder, was it worth it? We've all been there, right? We have found ourselves in that dark, secluded place where we try to feel the light of truth and hope, but the situation we find ourselves in is full of darkness, and it's drifting over our souls, and we can't seem to do anything to change our situation. John in prison sees nothing but dry sand, dust, and brown shrubs. He's forgetting the other life that is there just beneath the surface and is just out of sight. He's forgetting that though he has been part of God's work in the world, God's work went on before him and will go on after him. But he needs a reminder from Jesus. So Jesus sends back this message to John to remind him, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Of course, the straight answer to John's question, are you the one, would have been, yep, that's me, but not Jesus. Of course, he instead invites John to remember all of what the prophets said would happen. Healing for all people. Blind receive their sight, lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead raised, and the poor have good news. None of this winnowing fork and threshing floor and burning with fire. Rather, forgiveness and healing for all. Like John, sometimes we find ourselves in dark places. We have many types of jails that we find ourselves in. Some are caused by our life choices or the circumstances we find ourselves as we live into the consequences of those choices. But jails also look like the expectations that we have on how Jesus should act and how we believe God, who we believe God should love and not love. No matter how you find yourself in today's time and age, it's a short trip to jail or prison if we believe that Jesus is going to bring wrath on those with whom we don't agree, rather than believing Jesus is God with us and God has love for all people and all creation. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get offended at Jesus. Especially when I label people as bad and corrupt or incapable of empathy. I think, how, God, how can this person get the same love and forgiveness as other more righteous people? It's just not right, God, that you would give everyone the same love. But that's why it's called grace. When we realize God has reconciled all of creation, God has reconciled all God's children through the life and death and resurrection and ascension of God's Son, Jesus, God's mercy falls like rain on the just and unjust alike. When we don't realize God's mercy falls on all creation, we find ourselves in a type of prison, where darkness can hide us from the light of hope. Then it becomes difficult to see what our loving God is doing. As we are in this Advent season, waiting for the coming of our Savior, we have the same invitation from Jesus he gives to John. An invitation to stop. In the midst of our own expectations of God, recognize the darkness of our society and then look for the light of God's kingdom breaking through into the darkness. Then we notice the light. Yesterday, you all hosted 10 families in order that they might have food and gifts for their families at Jubilee Christmas. Many of these families would have no Christmas morning, presents, or extra food if it wasn't for our generous community. This year, Lafayette Urban Ministries, along with your help, will help more than 675 families, more than 1,750 local children. OSLC supports Family Promise, a national movement that involves over 200,000 volunteers in 200-plus cities in 43 states. Volunteers provide food, hospitality, companionship, and most importantly, community. You all have supported Purdue Lutheran Ministries in finding a new full-time pastor. And on January 16th, yes, I'm counting down the days, Pastor Kristen Rice will bring creativity and spiritual leadership to Purdue University students. You hired a new faith formation director who is, quite frankly, wearing this old pastor out with all the events and opportunities for learning. You have devised a sustainable plan to purchase properties between OSLC and PLM. And now we get to dream about what kind of blessing they will become for this community. You have supported this guy and going to the Wabash Pastoral Leadership Program so I can learn more about our community and see what those needs are for the next 2 years. Not to mention, 2 weeks is Christmas. Our expectations of God and Jesus coming here are limited. As Jesus says at the end of today's gospel, no one born of women is greater than John. Yet the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Whatever our expectations are, God's love is more inclusive, wider, and lovelier. God has fulfilled God's expectations through Christ. And though we live in a world that contains darkness, the light of the world is freely given to all, for all. And that light will always exceed any of our expectations. Amen.